We're going back into Judges tonight. We haven't been here for a while. So we've started looking at the last judge, Samson, who is probably the most well-known of all the judges. And certainly in the book of Judges, he's given the most space. He's also the one whose flaws are greatest. We're coming to the end of the period, and it's ever-decreasing circles of sin. And so the judges towards the end, even though they are still greatly used of the Lord, they are great in their flaws as well as in their graces. And I always find that encouraging, because we don't come across super spiritual saints anywhere in the Bible. So we're going to read again, I think, chapter 14, just to remind ourselves of what we're looking at. Chapter 14. Chapter 13 was the preparation for the birth of Samson. And now chapter 14 are the early exploits of his life. This chapter isn't just containing a riddle that Samson gave to the 30 men in the feast of the Philistines. There are several mysterious things here, and even some of the incidents here, the one with the lion and the honey, Samson doesn't share with his mother and father. Now, let me just quickly remind you of what happens in this chapter. Samson, as I said at the start, is a flawed man of God, and his two weaknesses are women and his temper. And we see in this chapter both of those coming out. And not guided by the Spirit, but by his glands, he has seen a Philistine woman that he wants, and he says to his parents, "Give her to me." And even though they plead with him to take a wife from his own people, he insists on having his own way. This is the flesh. This is not the man of God speaking. And what happens is Samson goes down to Timnah, and on his way, he meets a young lion. This is what we're going to look at tonight. And he slays the lion. And then he talks to the woman. And then he returns to her again, with his parents probably. And on the return journey, he sees the carcass of the lion, and inside is honey, and that sustains him. And those two things, the lion he killed and the honey in the lion, gives him the riddle, which he puts to the young men who had come to the wedding feast. And they manage to get Samson's wife to get him to reveal the secret of the riddle. And then on the seventh day, they're able to answer the riddle correctly. And the Spirit of God comes upon Samson. This is the climax of the chapter. And he then is able to kill 30 of the Philistines. Now, all of this sounds a mess, doesn't it? Where is the so-called man of God in all of this? All we can see here is confusion, and not what is of the Spirit, but what is of the flesh. So can we have the table up, please? I don't know if you're going to be able to see that, but this is from Dale Ralph Davis, and what he does, quite rightly, is divide this chapter in terms of these secrets, these things that we just can't understand. And the one we looked at last time was in verses 1 to 4, which was the secret of God's purpose. How on earth can a holy God raise a man like Samson as judge? What is he doing? Don't you feel like that often with the Lord? Why is he allowing all these things to happen? And we saw that God overruled in this, even though Samson did wrong in seeking a woman from the Philistines, and even though his parents were right to plead with him not to do it, God was still in it. It didn't make God the author of sin, but it does mean that God works together all things, good things, unpleasant things, sinful things. They're all in the mix, and eventually God brings much good. And the verse that helped us there was verse 4, which stated, his father and mother did not know the secrets, that it was of the Lord that he was working, seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. So this chapter is moving towards the climax, verse 19, the Spirit of the Lord coming upon Samson in a mighty way, and Samson killing 30 of the enemy. That's what God is planning in this chapter. And through all the twists and the turns, we are moving in that direction. And I don't know if there are twists and turns in your life. Are you at the moment disappointed? Are you frustrated because of the secret purpose of God? You just can't make head or tail of what the Lord is doing in your life. Maybe, like Samson's parents, you have a son or a daughter who is willingly going his own way. Listen, the secret things belong to the Lord. And trust in him that he will bring good even out of these things where we are completely flabbergasted sometimes and just don't know. Just lay it at the feet of the Lord. Now, we're only going to look at verses 5 and 6 tonight, although Samson uses it a little later on in terms of the riddle to the men in the feast. The next secret is the secret of the slaying of the lion. Thank you. We don't need the table anymore. Thank you very much. The secret of the slaying of the lion. What can we learn from this? Well, the first thing I need to say is there is no indication whatsoever in Judges or in the mention of Samson in the Hall of Fame of the men and women of faith in Hebrews 11 that Samson was an Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of figure of the Old Testament. There is no indication that he was a muscle man. What we're told is what? Let's look at verses 5 and 6. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now, to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. Where is Samson's strength? Is it in his muscles? What comes next? The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. And this is a secret. He did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. It's not Samson's spirit. Some men have a strong spirit. They may not have a strong body, but they may have that endurance inside of them. This is not what Samson has here. This is something that comes from outside of him, the Spirit of the Lord. And in the Hebrew, the word came mightily upon him has the meaning of rushing upon him. Rushing upon him. That's what enables Samson to do this. Now, was this the first time that the Spirit of the Lord had come down in this way upon Samson? Does anybody know? Thank you. In the previous chapter, the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him. We don't know whether it was to the same degree as this chapter, but we do know that God was anointing this man with the Holy Spirit. And then if you look at verse 19 of this chapter, the climax, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. And it wasn't a young lion this time, but 30 Philistines. Chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. Then Samson went and caught 300 foxes, and he took torches, turned the foxes tail to tail, and put a torch. I don't know why I'm reading those verses. Where is the Spirit of the Lord in chapter 15? Verse 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Any other references to the Spirit of the Lord coming upon Samson? I think there's one other. Or maybe there isn't. But we can say, can't we, that several times the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon Samson and enabled him to do impossible things. Let me just read a quotation from Dale Ralph Davis. The mangled lion is meant as Yahweh's, the Lord's sign to Samson. It shows him what the Lord can and will do through him. It should show him that the God who makes him able to tear up lions can also empower him to destroy Philistines. Here is a preview of what the Lord will do through Samson. It's a young lion. I think that's an important emphasis. This was a small victory for Samson. But this little victory, through the Spirit of the Lord's enabling, I think was teaching Samson what greater things the Spirit of the Lord can enable him to do. Zechariah 4:6, not by human might or by natural power. Samson didn't have anything. He had nothing in his hands, it says. But by my Spirit, says the Lord. Have you got lions facing you? Maybe they're not young lions. Maybe they're big, roaring lions. Are you afraid? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I know in Pilgrim's Progress, as Christian is approaching the House Beautiful, that he sees a lion and he's too scared to carry on. And I know he's told that he should not fear because the lion is chained. Christian doesn't see the chain, but he's given the assurance that God will protect him because the lion is chained. And he walks on, trusting God's promise. But this young lion isn't chained. But even then, Samson needed not fear because the Spirit of the Lord is enabling him to do what he couldn't do in his own strength. And sometimes it feels as if the difficulties that we come across are not chained. Well, they are in an ultimate sense, aren't they? Because God holds everything. But even if it seems as if they are not, if we trust in God, then we can be just as assured as Samson was. Not by might or by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. This is the lesson I think God wants us to learn tonight. We don't have it in us. I know we are privileged to be part of a big church. I know we have more resources than many churches in Wales do. I know we have a goodly heritage, but none of that can be relied on. It is only by trusting in the God of Samson. As the book of Daniel says, it is those who know their God who shall be strong and do exploits. Let me give you another example very similar to this, a more striking example. If you turn to 1 Samuel, chapter 17, do you know what the example is going to be? This person has got something in his hands, but not much. And he's facing not a lion, but a giant who is much better resourced than he is. You must know who this is. David, he's not king yet. He's just a young shepherd boy. And he's not meant to be fighting in the army. He's still looking after the sheep. But his older brothers are in the army. And they are probably well trained. And David's father sends David with some food for his brothers. So I don't think David was expecting to be fighting Goliath, the giant, the commander of the Philistines. But when David arrives, he sees mayhem. He just can't understand why the men of Israel are afraid of this giant Goliath. And if we read verse 31, this is the same mindset as Samson slaying the lion. Now you'll see why I've chosen this as another example now. He hears Goliath taunting God's people. And when God's people are being taunted, it's the name of God himself, isn't it? And even though he's a young, inexperienced shepherd boy, David is filled with a righteous anger. So this is what we're told. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him, Goliath. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." He doesn't have the training. He doesn't have the experience. And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." But David said to his Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep." And interesting now, when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, now this is the lesson for us. Samson, by God's enabling, slew a young lion. David says, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Can you see what David is doing? David is trusting in God alone. He's looking back at smaller victories that God has given him over the lion and over the bear as a shepherd defending the sheep. And now he's facing a much more challenging situation. No one else in Saul's army, not even Saul himself, is ready to stand against Goliath. But David says, "As the Lord enabled me to have the victory over the lion and the bear, so the same God will enable me to fight this Philistine." Who is he? Who is he to taunt the name of our God? Here is a man full of faith. And Saul offers him his armor, doesn't he? And David tries it on, but it just doesn't fit him. I'm glad that he didn't go out in Saul's armor. David was forced to have to trust in God alone. And we know the account as it continues that David went out with a sling and 5 stones. And he faced the champion of the Philistine superpower with a sling and 5 stones. And God gave him the victory. Why can't the same God give us victories as well? Each victory will help you, some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look not inside, don't look to the giant inside. There's no giant, right? Look ever to Jesus, our Samson. He will carry you through. Ask the Saviour to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He's willing, more than willing, more ready to empower us than we are to ask. He's willing to aid you. He will carry you through. That's all I want to look at tonight, a vital lesson. Samson, at the start of his life, was enabled not by physical might, let us get rid of that notion, but by the Spirit of the Lord coming upon him to kill a young lion. That gave him confidence, I think, in spite of his weaknesses, that God could use him for even greater victories, as we will see at the end of the chapter, when the Spirit of the Lord comes again upon him and 30 Philistines are dead. The same Spirit can come upon you and me. We may feel not like Samson, maybe. We may feel a bit like David. We may feel untrained, inexperienced, too young. No one is too inexperienced for God to use. No one is too young to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Let me remind you of a group of people huddled together, full of fear, in an upper room in the city of Jerusalem. Even though they had seen Jesus Christ risen, they were still not ready yet to go out and face the challenge that awaited them. And then the same Spirit that rushed upon Samson came rushing down as a mighty wind, and it gave tongues of fire, and more than that, it gave divine power to those people. And the one, the spokesperson for them, was a bit like Samson, wasn't he? A man full of weaknesses. Simon Peter, who had denied his Lord only a few weeks before, now filled with the Holy Spirit, mightily used of God. And it's not 30 Philistines that are lying dead at the feet of the Apostle Peter, but it's 3,000 souls saved for eternity. That's what the Spirit of the Lord can do. I'm wanting to encourage us before we come to prayer. You know, what we can ask God this evening is that he will give us his Spirit. I'll be the happiest preacher in Wales if you pray for me that the Lord this Sunday will anoint me with his Holy Spirit. I can't tell you how glad I'll be if you pray that for me, and I can't tell you how glad other preachers will be as well if you pray that for them. And not just for those of us who minister God's word, but every one of us can know the Spirit of the Lord coming upon us. And I'm sure Samson was wrong to keep it a secret. That's what I think. David didn't keep it a secret, did he? What God had enabled him to do. David was able to say to the king and to the men of Israel around him, much more experienced men, let not your hearts fail you. Let not your hearts fail you. The God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the bear, he will deliver us from this challenge. And as we sung of his deliverance, we can boast till all around us that are distressed, from our example, comfort take and charm their griefs to rest. Don't you want to be somebody that reassures other weak, wobbly Christians? Not because of anything special in you, but just because you can say with 100% certainty, look, the God we have is a God who hears and answers prayer, and he's a God who delivers. I know of no greater encouragement. And I find when we have missionary speakers in our prayer meetings, it's so thrilling to hear of their stories of how God has intervened in sometimes impossible situations. What a privilege to come before such a God tonight. And who knows what deliverances we will prove in the weeks and months ahead. But let us not think we can go forward in our own strength. We need the same spirits. And Jesus says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's sing, and then I'll go through a few prayer points. What hymn is it, Robert? Yield not to temptation. Yield not to temptation. These screens are excellent, aren't they? If I've forgotten the hymn, then they just come up. So it's number 703, if you're listening in at home.